Work earnestly and untiringly for them. God will hear your prayers and will draw them to Himself. Then, at the last great day, you can bring them to God, saying, "Here am I, and the children whom Thou hast given me." Or 536.1, when Samuel shall receive the crown of glory, he will wave it in honor before the throne and gladly acknowledge that the faithful lessons of his mother, through the merits of Christ, have crowned him with immortal glory. Or 536.2, the work of wise parents will never be appreciated by the world, but when the judgment shall sit and the books shall be opened, their work will appear, as God views it, and will be rewarded before men and angels. It will be seen that one child who has been brought up in a faithful way has been a light in the world. It's cost tears and anxiety and sleepless nights to oversee the character building of this child, but the work was done wisely, and the parents fear the well done of the master. Or 536.3, title to admission to the king's palace. Let the youth and the little children be taught to choose for themselves that royal robe woven in heaven's loom, the fine linen, clean and white, which all the holy ones of earth will wear. This robe, Christ's own spotless character, is freely offered to every human being. But all who receive it will receive and wear it here. Or 536.4, let the children be taught that, as they open their minds to pure, loving thoughts and do loving and helpful deeds, they are clothing themselves with His beautiful garments of character. This apparel will make them beautiful, 537, and beloved here, and will hereafter be their title of admission to the palace of the king. His promise is, or 536.5, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Or 537.1, a divine welcome to the redeemed. I saw a very great number of angels bring from the city glorious crowns, a crown for every saint, with his name written thereon. As Jesus called for the crowns, angels presented them to him, and with his own right hand the lovely Jesus placed the crowns on the heads of the saints. In the same manner the angels brought the harps, and Jesus presented them also to the saints. The commanding angels first struck the notes, and then every voice was raised in grateful, happy praise, and every hand skillfully swept over the strings of the harp, sending forth melodious music in rich and perfect strains. Or 537.2, then I saw Jesus lead the redeemed company to the gate of the city. He laid hold of the gate and swung its back on its glittering hinges and made the nations that had kept the truth enter in. Within the city there was everything to feast the eye. Rich glory they beheld everywhere. Then Jesus looked upon his redeemed saints, their countenances were radiant with glory, and as he fixed his loving eyes upon them, he said, with his rich, musical voice, "I behold the travail of my soul, and am satisfied. This rich glory is yours to enjoy eternally. Your sorrows are ended. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." I saw the redeemed host go and cast their glittering crowns at the feet of Jesus, and then, as his lovely hand raised them up, they touched their golden harps and filled all heaven with their rich music and songs to the Lamb. 538 or 537.3, language is altogether too feeble to attempt a description of heaven. As the scene rises before me, I am lost in amazement. Carried away with the surpassing splendor and excellent glory, I lay down the pen and exclaim, "Oh, what love! What wondrous love!" The most exalted language fails to describe the glory of heaven or the matchless depths of a Savior's love. Or 538.1. Chapter 86, Life in the Eden Home. Eden to be restored. The Garden of Eden remained upon the earth long, after man had become an outcast from its pleasant paths. The fallen race were long permitted to gaze upon the home of innocence, their entrance barred only by the watching angels. At the cherubim-guarded gate of paradise the divine glory was revealed. Hither came Adam and his sons to worship God. Here they renewed their vows of obedience to that law, the transgression of which had banished them from Eden. When the tide of iniquity overspread the world, and the wickedness of men determined their destruction by a flood of waters, the hand that had planted Eden withdrew it from the earth. But in the final restitution, when there shall be a new heaven and a new earth, it is to be restored more gloriously adorned than at the beginning. Our 539.1 and they that have kept God's commandments shall breathe in immortal vigor beneath the tree of life, and through unending ages the inhabitants of sinless worlds shall behold, in that garden of delight, a sample of the perfect work of God's creation, untouched by the curse of sin, a sample of what the whole earth would have become had man but fulfilled the Creator's glorious plan. Our 539.2 the great plan of redemption results in fully bringing back the world into God's favor. All that was lost by sin is restored. Not only man but the earth is redeemed, to be the eternal abode of the obedient. For 6,000 years Satan has struggled to maintain possession of the earth. Now God's original purpose in its creation is 540 accomplished. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Our 539.3 the redemption of the purchased possession. God's original purpose in the creation of the earth is fulfilled, as it is made the eternal abode of the redeemed. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The time has come to which holy men have looked with longing, since the flaming sword barred the first pair from Eden, the time for the redemption of the purchased possession. The earth originally given to man as his kingdom, betrayed by him into the hands of Satan, and so long held by the mighty foe, has been brought back by the great plan of redemption.